Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Isla Mel, author of a spectacular new photo history book, New York Fashion Week, The Designers, The Models, The Fashions of the Bryant Park Era. Stick around. I think you'll be surprised how much I know about fashion. And second thought, no you won't. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 900 archives, celebrity, and pop culture interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by Audible. Audible is offering Mr. Media listeners a free audiobook download and a 14-day trial offer to give you a chance to check out their very cool service. I love listening to books on tape. If you've never tried it before, actors or sometimes the authors themselves read to you. It's great for the commute, the beach, or even unwinding before bed. You can choose a free audiobook from Audible's enormous library of best-selling titles, including The Help by Catherine Stockett, A Stolen Life by J.C. Dugard, and Bossy Pants by Tina Fey. Here's an excerpt from Bossy Pants, read by the author, Tina Fey.
Because I am nothing if not an amazing businesswoman, I researched what kind of content makes for best-selling books. It turns out the answer is one-night stands, drug addictions, and recipes. Here, we are out of luck. But I can offer you lurid tales of anxiety and cowardice. Why is this audiobook called Bossy Pants? One, because the name Two and a Half Men was already taken. And two, because ever since I became an executive producer of 30 Rock, people have asked me, is it hard for you being the boss? And is it uncomfortable for you to be the person in charge? You know, in that same way they say, gosh, Mr. Trump, is it awkward for you to be the boss of all these people? I can't answer for Mr. Trump, but in my case, it is not.
You can also download The Profiler, written by famed criminal profiler Pat Brown and yours truly, which Pat will read to you personally. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of women who were pumped up by today's topic, only to be deflated when they discover the show is still hosted by me. In the new media, and fashion capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. No one is less qualified to host a show about fashion of any kind than me. I'm still wearing t-shirts that were cool in 1984. My idea of appropriate apparel for a Saturday night on the town is a pair of Levi's and a well-worn polo shirt, preferably one with a University of Florida gaiter, not the Lacoste brand. If I have to wear a tie, it likely features a cartoon character created in the 1930s. I prefer white, even after Labor Day. But I understand there's a compelling mystique and magic surrounding New York's annual Fashion Week event, which runs this year from September 8th to 15th. Besides drawing the latest fashions and top designers from the world over, it also attracts a ton of media and celebrities, making an event that appeals to me on, you know, a certain level. And since I am LLMM, you know, ladies love Mr. Media, I must fulfill the needs of my audience. All that, and I've seen episodes of Ugly Betty and Sex and the City that were apparently filmed on location at Fashion Week over the years, making me an expert. Isla Mel's new book, New York Fashion Week, The Designers, The Models, The Fashions of the Bryant Park Era, does a brilliant job of capturing the atmosphere and changing styles and faces of the event since it was centralized in 1994 at one location. She breaks down each year in easy-to-digest buckets, including the overriding fashion theme, the trends, a snapshot of the scene, its fresh faces, and celebrity attendee photographs. I thought it would be interesting to talk with her and see if she could put the event in perspective for me. Isla Mel, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hi.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Now, I've never been to Fashion Week. I probably will never go. I've never thought about attending. And let's say your job is to sell me on it.
Okay.
Why would I find this appealing? Why would I want to go to this?
Well, you know, it's like the circus comes to town. they put up tents, and the most fabulous people in New York show up. It's so much fun. There's celebrities, there's editors, it's just a spectacle for the eyes, number one. And number two, there's so much creativity and talent that is happening there. I can't imagine anyone not wanting to go.
I do like a good circus.
See?
And now, in comparison to, like, getting an invitation to the Cannes Film Festival, the Academy Awards, or a party at P. Diddy's in the Hamptons, where does Fashion Week rank in social importance? How important would it be to me if I was getting all those other things as well?
Oh, I think it's very important. It would mean that you are a very, very important person.
Now I feel bad I haven't gotten that invitation. I don't know what to think about that.
Well, you know, there's not too much in Florida, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, yeah, okay. We don't need to wear so many clothes here, you know.
That's
it's always
right.
Hot, right.
One season, you know.
All right. Thanks for making me feel better, Isla.
Always.
So as you organize this book, you know, the photos, the interviews, what did you learn about New York Fashion Week? And I keep saying New York because there are fashion weeks in a lot of places. But what did you learn about New York Fashion Week that surprised you?
What the biggest surprise, I think, was really how much has changed since it began. And it really wasn't that long ago that the shows were centralized at Bryant Park. It only really started in 1993, and it's completely different today. And so I just think it's not a long time for such major change.
Well, what were some of the changes? I mean, how is it? I assume it's bigger, just the fact that I've heard of it now and probably did not know it existed in 1994. But what's changed about it? What's the, you know, is the emphasis?
It's really the internet and social media has taken over, and it's changed the game in fashion. When it started, looks would come down the runway, and months later, the general public would see it. Mm. And now, the second a look hits the runway, people are tweeting it. And so fashion has become very fast. And also something that's different is there are a lot of stores now, lower end stores, that are copying the look right away. And a couple of weeks later, they're in the stores, these copies of clothing that you won't get, you know, in the better stores later on.
So, yeah, that's interesting. So the knockoffs are appearing before the main line.
That's right, yeah. And, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just, it's different. Fashion is much more open to everyone now, and it wasn't like that in the beginning.
So, okay, now I'm not good with women's stores, but so instead of seeing it in, okay, I can't even
think of it. Bergdorf Goodman.
Thank you, thank you. Instead of seeing it first there, the woman who shops where at Penny's is seeing it there, perhaps, and
you know, it's more like the stores like H&M. They do a pretty good job in recreating, you know, the big trends, and they know what's going on. They really seem to know what people want to wear, and I think they do great business because of that.
As a writer, you know how we value copyright and we value intellectual property rights. This seems incredibly unfair to the designers and the original manufacturers who can't get it to market as quickly as the knockoffs can. What's the industry doing about that?
Well, you know, there's only so much they can do about it. But yeah, intellectual property is a very big issue, and people are concerned about it. You know, they're not knockoffs; they're copies, and that's different. They're not pretending to be real thing.
But right, but they're copying it nonetheless.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
it's
still. So, let me ask you this: are the manufacturers, the original designers, I should say, they only sell so many copies of a certain dress, probably to begin with, because they sell it at the high end. They sell it to a very specific audience. Are they still going to sell the same number of that item at the high end?
I think they will. I think that the customer who's shopping at H&M isn't always going to be the customer that's shopping at Bergdorf Goodman. And so you know, while it is an important issue to be aware of, I don't think they're really stealing business from the designers.
I know I was surprised to look at the New York Fashion Week site, or as it likes to be called, the Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week site,
right.
And see that YouTube is going to be streaming from Fashion Week Live, from the runways and the shows. And I thought, before I even thought about what you're talking about in terms of the copies, I thought, that's crazy. I mean, plus, doesn't the event, putting aside the fact that they can now copy something that much quicker because they're seeing it as it's happening in New York, they don't even have to spend budget to go there. They don't have to be in a hotel or anything. But doesn't it take away some of the exclusivity of the event by having it on YouTube? I mean, P. Diddy's not streaming video of his party at the Hamptons this weekend.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I don't think it is taking away the exclusivity of being there. You know, it's different being there and watching it, you know, on your computer screen. And I think it's wonderful to watch it on your computer screen. I do that myself. You know, you can stay in your pajamas and watch a show. It's great. But again, if you can be there, chances are you'll want to be there just to soak in the atmosphere. And also, there really is no substitute to seeing the clothes and how they move live.
Okay, so I got to ask, because you brought up the pajamas. Whose pajamas are you wearing?
Oh, you don't want to know.
Oh, well, okay. All right. I just thought I got to get that Joan Rivers question in. These pajamas that you're wearing, Isla, whose are they? Who's the designer? Is the event, maybe we should have dealt with this, but is the event more a public spectacle today for the public or for the industry than it was in 94?
It's definitely more of a public spectacle. Absolutely. You know, there are more celebrities there now. There's photographers are everywhere. You know, I've seen paparazzi fighting with each other to get to, you know, a certain celebrity. It's a bit crazy, but I think that adds to the fun of it. Is it more than it was? Definitely.
I referenced in the introduction that I was aware of it probably because of Sex and the City years ago. And, of course, Ugly Betty has done stuff around it while it was on the air. Did Sex and the City and Sarah Jessica Parker, because of the exposure that show got, have something to do with making it a bigger public event than just an industry event? I'd never heard of it before.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think because that show was so heavily influenced by fashion, absolutely. I think it really brought... It helped to bring fashion to the mainstream. I think Sex and the City, Project Runway, I think these are things that were really important tools in bringing fashion where it is today.
And does Sarah Jessica Parker get respect for this?
Yes, I think so. I mean, yeah, why not? She looks great. She's a great face of fashion, of course.
And did I read that she actually has her own line, or she's working on within someone else's line?
She was, yeah. She was the creative director at Halston, which is incredible.
That's, yeah. Was that for show? Yeah. Nobody's listening. Nobody's watching. Was that just, you know, one of these celebrity pat you on the back things, or was she actually doing designs and stuff?
You know, I personally was not in the room, but I believe that it was not for show. But,
okay.
You know, I'm not an authority on that.
And you know, we hear a lot about celebrities attending every year, and I know the event is starting tomorrow, right?
Yes.
So starting tomorrow, Mr. Media's email is going to start filling up with all these photographs of celebrities seen at Fashion Week, wearing this one's fashion, this one's clothes, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Now, do they attend, men and women, do they attend because they love fashion, or because they have something to promote, or they like attention and they know that's where the media is going to be? What's the real draw there?
Well, of course it's different for everyone. There are so many celebrities that love fashion. And also, you know, a lot of times they are friends with the designers and they really want to come and show support. And also it's not a bad thing for a celebrity to be associated with a certain label. that can be very good for them PR-wise.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to break in a second, but I wanted to ask you, I mentioned that it is Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week. I honestly don't know how long they've been a sponsor or that there's been a corporate sponsor, but is that a problem that it's instead of being New York Fashion Week, it's Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week? I mean, does that put us, you know, like one step away from Maybelline putting its logo, you know, over every model's heart?
No, I don't think so. I don't see any difference between, you know, Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week and the Mets playing at Citi Field. You know, I mean, there's corporate sponsorship everywhere.
So maybe we'll see Valvoline on someone's. No.
Yeah, I don't think
no.
so.
No. All right.
But Mercedes, you know, that could happen.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media interview with journalist Isla Mel, whose new book is New York Fashion Week, The Designers, the Models, the Fashions of the Bryant Park Era. And we'll be right back. Hey, folks. You can hear Mr. Media while on the go now with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone, whether you use an iPhone, iPod Touch, Android, BlackBerry Curve, or Palm Pre. And when you download Stitcher to hear Mr. Media today, you have a chance to win some real money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in your smartphone's app store. Download it. It's free. Takes seconds. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter Mr. Media, that's MR Media, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of Mr. Media will be waiting for you in Stitcher's favorites right on your phone. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too, always available to you on demand, no syncing. Some of my favorites include WTF with Mark Maron, Plus One Per Diem with Kevin Smith, and The Nerdist with Chris Hardwick. It's all free and all instant to you on Stitcher Smart Radio. And don't forget to win the money. Enter promo code Mr. Media, MR Media, when you register. And thanks for listening. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media interview with journalist Isla Mel, whose new book is New York Fashion Week, The Designers, the Models, the Fashions of the Bryant Park Era. So what is it that drew you to fashion coverage? I mean, we were talking before, your other books are nothing about this. Why fashion? Why now?
You know, fashion has always been the thing that I really loved. I started out writing about Hollywood, and it's really not such a big leap to go from Hollywood to fashion. I just felt that the time was right for me to make this change, and I'm so happy that I did.
Good. And who are some of, as we're looking at this year's Fashion Week and others, who are some of the designers and their wares, of course, that the attendees most look forward to year after year? You probably got a sense of that from your research.
Yeah, absolutely. Marc Jacobs is huge. Everyone wants to go to his show. Michael Kors is always a favorite. Ralph Lauren, Donna Karan. Then there's a lot of great newer designers. Alexander Wang is really someone to watch. Mm-hmm. Joseph Altuzarra. I mean, there's so many great, great designers.
I have to tell you that something that struck a lot of stuff, there's some wonderful photography in the book. And there's a photo of Betsy Johnson. And I, every time I see her, and I don't know that much about these things. Every time I see her, I look at her and I think that woman has got to be fun to hang out with.
Yeah.
And she just radiates in pictures that she's just fun, that she would be entertaining to make conversation with. Is that, you know, is that a fair assumption on my part?
Oh, absolutely. Betsy Johnson is so great. Hmm. And that's, I know the picture you're talking about. It's just a great picture of her. You know, I was really, really fortunate to work with two of the best photographers, mm-hmm. Randy Brook and Roxanne Lowitt. It's just been such a joy.
Was it hard to get the rights to, you obviously work with them, but was it hard to get rights to other photos for this book? Did it drive you crazy?
I think you know what? It was not so terrible. I thought it was going to be much worse than it turned out to be. I had a lot of people, you know, who really were angels on this project who were huge help to me.
That's nice. Because, yeah, photo rights these days are kind of a bear.
Yeah.
You mentioned, so I was asking you about who people look forward to seeing, whose work, and you mentioned that there are also, you know, new designers. What I wondered is, has anyone looked at whether it actually turns out in the long run to be a good launching pad for new designers? For example, if, you know, I'm sure there'll be people who will launch this year for the first time. Has history shown that this is a good place to debut a line, or would they do just as well if they just, you know, launched and marketed through the women's magazines or what have you?
No, well, I think that, it's absolutely a great place to launch. You know, there's built-in coverage that you wouldn't get otherwise if you weren't showing during New York Fashion Week.
Can the reaction during Fashion Week kill a line just as quickly as it can, you know, promote it? I'm sorry. You know what? Let me ask you that again.
Yeah, there are some people who have been reviewed for quite a while because, you know, it takes.
Isla.
Yeah.
Okay. Our something happened, and the video and the audio are not apart. Can you hear me now?
I can. Yeah. Now you're good.
Okay. So we're caught up. So I'm going to ask you the question again because it got all out of sync for a second, and then amazingly it caught up. I thought we were going to have to stop.
Okay. Good.
All right, so what I'm wondering is, what was the question? It was about launching. It was about whether, yeah. Sorry.
I don't remember either.
I got it. I just know we talked about a couple little things there. Has anyone looked at whether launching a line, is that, no, that's not what I asked you.
Oh, no, I know, about can a bad review kill a new designer.
That's it. Thank you. Let me re-ask that. Thank you. I knew we talked about something else, and I got lost.
It was a good question, yeah.
Isla, let me think about that for a second. Can a new designer, no, that's not the question. I'm sorry, give me 1 second to clear my head here.
Take your time.
Okay. Can a bad design? No, that's not what I want to. Okay, I'm sorry. I got it now. Can the response to a new line debuted at Fashion Week, if the reaction is bad, can it do just as much damage as good reaction can do good to someone else's work?
Yeah, it really can. There are some people who feel that designers shouldn't be reviewed for a few seasons to really get their footing. There's so much media now, and, you know, as we talked about, fashion is so fast and it's somewhat disposable that, yes, absolutely, a bad review can be very detrimental to someone's career.
Yeah, I mean, the social media happens so quickly. As a matter of fact, I just got this in. Someone in Queens says that they really like you, but they think I'm terrible at this. I mean, this show hasn't even aired yet, and the social media has already picked up on it.
Well, that's not a bad review.
Well, for you, yeah, it's great. I'm just getting the usual stuff I get. what do you expect will be big headlines coming out of Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week this year?
Well, you know, you never know what's going to happen, and that's the fun of it. But, you know, I think that everyone is going to look to see what the big trends are. That's going to, you know, of course, be a big story. You know, for now, Marc Jacobs really seems to set the trend, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. There, the element of surprise is big.
Is there always an element of scandal that comes out of the event?
We hope so.
One hopes. So that answers that question. I mean, it's not as much fun if something's not happening, right?
Oh, well, of course.
So are we hoping for the entire clan of Kardashians to show up? Maybe Lindsay Lohan? What are we looking for this year? Something new?
Who knows? Something fabulous.
I got it. All right, so I've asked you these mostly serious questions because I want to ask you this. This is what I really want to know.
Okay.
Why do some designers persist in taking perfectly gorgeous young models every year and covering them in face paint or forcing them to wear these hideous, hideous outfits that will never again see the light of day? They won't be in stores. And I wondered, is it about making a fashion statement or just getting attention because they fight so hard amongst themselves to get attention and to stand out?
I don't think it's just to get attention. Designers are very creative. And when they do something like that, it's because that's their vision. And they are, it's not, you're right in saying that every look won't be produced for the stores, absolutely. But they are communicating a message. And, you know, they're selling an image. And so if there's something outrageous that illustrates the feel of that collection, then why not put it on the runway? The runway is supposed to be larger than life.
Well, I have one that stood out for me. I'm going to hold it up. Hopefully I can get it in front of the camera.
This is,
I can't see a page number. You'll recognize this when you see it.
Yes,
this
I do.
This guy with a spider on I think that's a man with a spider
it
on
is.
His head.
It is. Okay, so yes.
So, you know, I mean, now that's not even what I was thinking about when I talk about, you know, covering up some gorgeous model. I don't know if he's gorgeous or not, but a lot of times we see these beautiful young women who are just like
caked
in makeup, or they're wearing a burlap sack for some, or, you know, just something insane. And I will never understand that if I live to be 100. And I won't.
Well, you wouldn't wear that hat? Why not?
No, I won't live to be 100. I might wear the hat, but I mean, I wear Superman neckties. What he expects from me.
My husband does too.
I don't know. So, I mean, it happens, right? I mean, fashion happens.
Yeah.
All right. And so last question, pretty much the last question about Fashion Week. Has anyone ever done an actual study to figure out whether a smiling, cheerful model sells more or less clothing than a dour, depressed-looking, suicidal model?
I don't know, but, you know, it's not a bad idea.
I look at the pictures. I mean, the photography in the book is, I mean, it's outstanding no matter what. But you do see examples of, you know, there's Betsy Johnson as the designer who stood out to me. And every time I see her, I think that, you know, I want what she's having.
Yeah.
You know? But then then you see some of these young models. And Kate Moss, I think, used to do a lot of that kind of stuff, which she would just be like, she would just look like somebody just killed her dog, you know, and there was a country music song about her, you know, and I mean, she just looked so miserable. And then I see some of these models, male or female, and they look happy and cheerful. And I think, okay, you know, if I want to go with the psychology of this, I want to be wearing what they're wearing because they look happy.
In the model's defense, I don't think it's very decision of how they walk down the runway. You know, everything is directed.
But that's what I mean. Do we know, and I guess I'm sort of asking it in a serious way, has anyone ever done the research to figure out which sells and which doesn't?
You know, I honestly don't know, but it's really an interesting question.
Thanks. I got one good one in, kids.
See, that was good.
So, Isla, what's next for you? This was your first fashion book. Will there be more? What are you going to do after this?
This is just come out. There will be more. Right now I'm going to Fashion Week and I'm so excited. And, you know, after that, we'll see.
will you be signing books somewhere? Or?
Yes, I will be. I will be launching this book at Bergdorf Goodman on Fashion's Night Out, which is tomorrow, September 8th, from 7 to 8:30. And I am so lucky because I'm going to have two incredible designers with me, Narciso Rodriguez and Tikkun Kaniskal. So it's so great, and I'm so looking forward to it.
Very nice. I assume that's PM, not AM?
Sure.
I just want to be sure. All right. Well, folks, you can order Isla Mell's fascinating new book, and I really did enjoy it. I have no reason to tell you otherwise. It's called New York Fashion Week, The Designers, The Models, The Fashions of the Bryant Park Era. It's in great bookstores everywhere, including Bergdorf Goodman tomorrow, if you're listening to this on September 8th. It's on September 8th. She'll be at Bergdorf Goodman. And if you miss that, you can get it in great bookstores everywhere, or you can order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. Do you have a website? Are you on Twitter, Facebook, things like that?
I am on everything, Twitter and Facebook, and I have a website, IslaMel.com.
All right. And we will make it easy because people will see the spelling of your name right here, right down here. All right.
Right.
Well, Isla, it was a lot of fun to talk to you. I feel like I actually learned something about fashion. I don't think I'll be changing what I wear as a result, but I will look at it with a more discerning eye each year.
So, well, that's great.
Thank you for that. And thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Thank you. It was so fun.
My pleasure. Good to have you. Come back again.
I will.
All right. For more original interviews, surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. And if you've enjoyed today's show, subscribe for free to Mr. Media via email, RSS, or iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. You can also download our new free Mr. Media mobile app in the Android market. And, of course, you can always listen with a piece of string in a tin can in soap opera land. Show your support of Mr. Media by supporting our sponsors, including Audible. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. We're also supported by thepartyauthority.us. Call DJ Ira for all your party entertainment needs nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS or visit their website, thepartyauthority.us. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com. You can also call our 24-hour listener line, 727-498-4711. Some messages may be used in an upcoming show, and unless you live next door to Mr. Media, it's probably a toll call. You can also follow Mr. Media on Facebook, Twitter, or our new YouTube video channel. Thanks so much for joining us today. Really appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Jeff Keane, or Jeffy from the Family Circus. Whenever I talk to people and I say, who's listening to Mr. Media? They say, not me. And I don't know.